Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, we are in chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. This is God's word. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he created him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years, and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. And after he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years, and then he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. And after he became the father of Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived 910 years, and then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And after he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years. Then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you look at this chapter, there is an interesting group of unusual names. There are a whole bunch of really long timelines as far as how long people lived. But they had one thing in common. They all died, with the exception of Enoch. We're going to talk about Enoch in a moment, but first I want to talk about the fact that everybody else died. They all died. Noah, right here at the end, it doesn't tell how old he was when he died. Well, that's because his story's about to come starting in the next chapter. This is giving the background. This is from Adam to Noah. Now, why is this so important? Well, I guess Pastor Wood's just getting old, and so he's kind of morbidly fixated on death. No, it's because so many of my friends have already died. So many people I know. I have seen up close as people died. And you know, there's not something you can do to keep it from happening. Sometimes you can prolong a person's life. Often, unfortunately, they just prolong a person's death. But sooner or later, they die.
Pastor Wood, okay, you've made your point. We're all going to die. Why do you want to beat a dead horse, so to speak?
Because I want you to face a reality that has sent tons of people around the world into panic in recent years. Why was everybody scared to death of COVID?
Because it can kill you.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, so can the flu. So can a car accident. So can any number of things. When we were living on Cape Cod many years ago, there was a horrible electrical storm and crashes of thunder and flashes of lightning. And I heard my son, Paul, my oldest, crying in the next room and crying apparently with the intention that we would hear. And so I went to him and I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I'm afraid lightning is going to come in the window and kill me." I said, "Son, you do not have to worry about that. Glass is used as an insulator for electrical power lines, okay? They use little glass things up there on the poles because it will not transmit the electricity, okay? So you don't have to worry that lightning is going to come through the glass." He said, "I'm just still afraid that it's going to come through." I said, "Son, you're a child. Believe me, lightning cannot come in the window and kill you. Okay? Now go back to sleep." I was really irritated with the boy because he didn't want to just take my word for it because he had this anxiety. I finally went back to bed, tried to go back to sleep before I had to get up early in the morning for a men's prayer breakfast. Hate those. Prayer is great, breakfast is good, men are fine, but early morning, I don't want to have to deal with others. You understand? Okay? I can get up early in the morning, do what I have to do, but I'd rather not have to be spiritual around you. Okay? But when you're the pastor of the church and they want a men's prayer breakfast, you can't say, "Well, you guys do that. I'll see you about 10. So, you know, I knew I was going to have to get up soon and go, and so I lay in the bed and stewed and was frustrated and finally got up and went to the church for the men's prayer breakfast. We were gathering, and guys are being nice and pleasant. Some guys have already had several cups of coffee, and they're in great shape, it's going on, and this guy comes to the door, and he said, he looked terrible. He said, "Pastor Wood, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to miss the breakfast this morning, but I wanted to stop by and ask you to please pray for me and for my family." And I said, "Sure, Rick, what's going on?" He said, "Well, I'm on my way to Cape Cod Hospital in Hyannis because this morning, during that electrical storm, lightning came in the window at my sister's house, and it hit her husband in the bed. And he's dead, But she's in the hospital with burns from trying to beat the flames out on his body. Okay, I'll definitely pray. And then I started replaying my conversation with my son that morning, where I was telling him, do not worry, lightning cannot come in the window, unless you're at Rick's brother-in-law's house, in which case it might kill you. I didn't say that to Paul, and I didn't tell him that story for a long time. I didn't go back after the men's prayer breakfast and say, hey, Paul, listen, just wanted you to know, I was wrong. Lightning can come in the window. So next time, go ahead and cry, and maybe that'll help keep it away. Now again, why do I tell you these stories? Because the fact is, you can be killed by any number of freakish things, or you can die in old age a nice, normal death. But we're all going to face God. Every single one of us. Well, what if I could extend my life to be 200? And then you die. 300, and then you die. Well, who's lived the longest? Methuselah, he's in this chapter. He died in the year of the flood. Isn't that interesting? Noah's granddaddy died in the year of the flood. Very possibly in the flood, thinking that his grandson, Noah, was crazy. We don't know. We just know there's nothing in here about Methuselah walking with God. And when we read about what it was like in Noah's day, there is no suggestion that Methuselah was one of the good guys, or that Noah's father was one of the good guys. We're going to find out about Noah and the fact that he obeyed God. But he was a standout in his generation.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
So, all these people live a really long time and then they die. Why is that? Why is death so universal? Because God said, in the day that you eat the fruit of that tree, you will surely die. Well, they didn't die on that day. Death entered the picture, and ultimately they started dying. It's the reality of the human condition, and people do all kinds of things to try to hide from it, block it out. We don't want to admit it. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to have to deal with it. But whether we face it or not, all of us have a limited lifespan on this earth. I'll tell you something else. This planet has a limited lifespan. 2 Peter 3 says that God is going to destroy the earth with fire and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And so you and I should not be morbid going around of, there's no point in doing anything. I'm just going to die. No, because we have a limited time span to live, there is great significance to what we do. Because we don't know how much time any of us has, we need to make the most of every day. We need to do what God has given us to do in a way that honors Him and blesses others. The reason we need to recognize that death is on the horizon is not so that we will be discouraged or fearful. It's so that we stop living in fear. When you know that God is the one who is on the throne and that he has numbered our days, then you don't have to fear. You can be courageous. Your courage can be a witness. Why aren't you afraid? Because Jesus has given me eternal life. So that when this body is worn out, my real life is about to begin. I'm about to move from a situation where physically I'm deteriorating into a situation as a follower of Jesus where I'm going to be with him, and there will be, as we sang this morning, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more goodbyes. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says of Christians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ is risen. He's alive. And therefore, we don't have to fear. We can be sad. I mentioned yesterday morning in our worship time together, and thank you all so much for making that such a marvelous time, celebration. But I mentioned that a dear friend had gone to be with the Lord the night before. His family sheds tears, but they also rejoice, because those who are in Christ know we're going to see each other again. We don't have to be afraid of what's coming, because whatever is coming is going to be so much better for the believer than any possible joy or pleasure we could have here. Got that? You should not be discouraged. I'm going to die. You should be sane. I'm going to die and I'm not worried. I don't know when I'm going to die, but God knows. And if what God wants is for me to be in a wheelchair and not know where I am, okay. I wouldn't choose it, but I'm not in charge. And whatever happens, it's going to be okay. Because I can guarantee you this, based on what I know from God's word, in 150 years from now, I'm going to be fine. Okay? And I'll know where I am, because I'll be with Jesus. In 150 years, it's all going to be good. Pastor, I think you probably shorten that timeline now and still say that with confidence. But you see, when I was your age, the age of you students, I was thinking in terms of 150 years out. When things went wrong, when things weren't going my way, when I was sick, when something disappointed me, I thought about, well, 150 years from now, it's not going to matter one bit. Understand? When our son Paul was born, with severe birth defects, all kinds of medical challenges, what God impressed on my wife and me is, what difference is it going to make in 150 years, whether or not he was able to walk in this life? What difference is it going to make in 150 years? You need to be thinking in those terms right now, because there are things you can do that'll make a difference in 150 years. Enoch walked with God. Everybody else, it says, and then he died, and then he died, and then he died. Verse 18 and following, when Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Sounds like he didn't die. Yeah, it does. Well, did something like that happen to anybody else? One guy. His name is Elijah. And Elijah, rather than dying, was caught up to be with the Lord in a chariot of fire.
I've never seen a chariot of fire.
I haven't either.
What does that look like?
I'm guessing it looks kind of like a chariot, only on fire. Or maybe just made of fire. It does talk about God making his angels ministering spirits and describes them as being like flames of fire. So I don't know. Here's what I know. Only two people in this book didn't have to undergo death. One's Enoch, and the other one's Elijah. Well, what about Jesus? No. Jesus died for us. He endured the worst, cruelest death that Rome could devise. And there are still people in the world today inspired by demons using that torturous method of death to kill their enemies, particularly Christians. Jesus voluntarily endured such a death for us. And it was not just the physical torture of that death which was so dreadful. Far more painful was the fact that the one who knew no sin became sin for us. He took our guilt, our shame, our punishment. And because of that, those who trust in him don't have to fear death. Those who trust in Jesus can recognize that he took the sting of death away. I believe it was Alan Redpath who was trying to comfort his children as they were going to his wife's funeral, their mother's funeral. And the children were very understandably grieving. But a truck passed by as they walked along, and the shadow of that truck fell over them for a moment and then passed on. And he said to his children, "We have just passed through the shadow of that truck. You and I will have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But Jesus was hit by the truck so that only the shadow will pass over us. Would you rather be hit by the truck or the shadow?" His children got it. They understood. Hope you do. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do we need to face death? Yes. But when we face it as believers, fear is removed because death cannot harm us. We will see the Lord in his glory, and nothing can separate us from his love.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.